So I want to ask a question. Is anyone going to, about midday tomorrow, start looking in the sky? Some of you are. Now, do you have glasses? Sunglasses will not cut it, okay? So what? This is the public health part of the sermon. Okay, don't look at the sun. Look at Jesus, right? But don't look at the sun. Do you know there will be a lot of people out tomorrow? Now, we are kind of at a distance from where the darkest part of it will be, of course. But, it'll be kind of neat. If you have experienced an eclipse before, you may have, kind of known what it was like. There was an eclipse a few years ago, and everybody was wearing the glasses, and then it became kind of a fashion trend for a day, right? And then it all stopped. Now, you can still find those glasses maybe in your drawer or, at the Walmart or wherever you pick up your eclipse-wearing glasses. But that's part of it. Now, those people who will experience that actually will experience it as a reminder. Because I don't know if you've heard about it or read about it, but eclipses, who would think of, has a power to change people. There are people that will walk away from that experience and say, I had an understanding of my life in a very different way after I had this experience because of the way things, the sensory experience changes. And it's not only just for people, but, animals behave differently. There's all this stuff that kind of surrounds what goes on. When a person, a group of people actually have this experience and recognize that they're part of something much bigger than themselves. That the revelation that there is something that they're part of, that they belong to, but is actually much more than their individual life is. Now, that's where we're going. I just kind of gave you the Lego comment of, like, you got to put it together, right? That's where we're going. So in the next few weeks, we are going to be talking about belonging. Honestly, I was thinking about this a bit before we began our Lenten series as I was listening to how hard things are with people. And for the longest time, we have had this churn of disconnection, of a lack of a sense of belonging, belonging to each other, belonging to God, belonging to even ourselves. There is a well-documented, well-known epidemic, according to public health folks, with loneliness, right? The loneliness factor, particularly among men as they get older, but across the board, that the older men are like the peak, the tip of the iceberg. But there's a lot of disconnection that is going on. And honestly, it is stunning to think about how much that loneliness is a predictor of physical problems, including cardiac issues. Okay, I'm not making this up. You can look it up. I'll provide some of that for you. There's some books about that. There's a lot that has been talked about that. But we don't talk about it, right? Because, we're kind of busy leading our lives, and we're also kind of consumed with the churn of, I don't like you. Right? You don't look like me. You don't act like me. You don't vote like me. You don't say the right things. You don't believe the right way. Right? We separate ourselves out. So I just came around, felt like I was being called to kind of have a conversation. So I'd like to start a conversation with you about belonging. And the most fundamental place to start that conversation is in our relationship with God, so that you're not thinking, I'm just kind of like, you know, making it up or being like pro-social health. What you heard Charlie read for us was about this whole business that we belong to God. And that's where I'd like to start today. Next week, we will spend some time dealing with the fact that our scriptures invite us, challenge us to understand that we belong to each other, right? So that the whole business of cutting someone out because we don't like them or because they're not close enough in proximity to be what we would call our neighbor, can't do that, right? So our scriptures invite us to kind of come back to this. And then the third week, I would like to, of this series, just 3 weeks, I would like to spend some time talking about fitting in, all right? Now, we'll talk about that, but just think about middle school. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Fitting in. I have to tell you that we have to just kind of start this whole conversation with an understanding is that we are hardwired this way. We cannot, and we'll talk about introversion and extroversion a little bit next week, but we cannot just say, oh, I don't like being around people. All right, you know, I'm just, you know, that's not me. That in our own way, in our own set of expressions, we are designed by God to be in relationship. Most fundamentally, to be in relationship with God, okay? And that goes right back to the very beginning of the book. Have you heard of Genesis? Right? Oh, let me make somebody to be in relationship with, basically God says. God creates, says, oh, you're made in my image. I've taken myself and pressed that, I'm taking the life and breathed that into you. It's built in. It's part of who we are. And it gets expressed in lots of different ways. Any tech fans in here? No one's admitting to being a tech fan. Really? Any Cavaliers in here? All right, a hand came up. I'm so happy. Today is the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament. Anybody pulling for Iowa in here? All right, there's more hands, right? Right. Any Nationals fans in here? Commanders? Any grandparents in here? There we go. One of my favorite memories of being a pastor was serving in a church in Annandale, and I had a youth group there that had this lovely family. It was two grandparents and their grandkids in the household together. The grandparents brought in the kids because the mothers and father were in such a difficult spot in their life that they really needed a stable home to be in. And I just thought that was a great gift. And a lot of people are participating and have for years been giving that great gift. But the grandparents were just you know, head over heels in love with these kids. And these kids were trying to make sense of who they were and what they were. And so these two young people had their grandfather who would, and I'm not exaggerating, almost every time you would see him, he would either have a t-shirt or a hat with their picture on it, right? That was his team, right? And honestly, I looked at that and I thought, if I was one of those two kids, I would be mortified. Oh man, he's wearing the hat. But they knew. They knew. And really, the community around them knew that he had the t-shirt of identity on. You know, he had the t-shirt, that was his team. Just as much as we might put a Pittsburgh hat on. just as much as we might put, I went to Powell Valley High School. That school doesn't exist anymore. It was so old, you know. Just as much as we put on those kind of team logo kind of things, we also have t-shirts of identity about who we are. Celebrate recovery. The whole business of wearing the dove of the church, you know. We had a campaign back in the fall. We were calling it, we weren't calling it. I was calling it, you know, Birds on Beauties. And the whole idea was to kind of help our presence be out into the community. And you were doing that. You still do that. I love that about who you are. So connection is a fundamental thing. It is a basic part of how we live our life and how we exist. It's baked into our hardwiring. Sorry for the mixed metaphor, but you know what I mean. Now, unfortunately, connections and belonging can be, you know, wonderful and, you know, help form a community, but they can also be a way in which they get distorted and push people apart. You're not part of my community. You don't belong here. You don't belong with us, right? Sit at the wrong table in high school. Right. Go to the wrong part of town. Go to the place where people shouldn't be. Just be a person that shouldn't be. So belonging and connection is fundamental to who we are, but it can also be broken down and placed into a reality of sin. It's sin. You know, sin is a broken relationship. It's breaking faith with God or breaking faith with another person. I promised I would be there. I decided not to be there. Sin is breaking of faith, of connection, of disconnecting even with ourselves. I know I should not drink, but I really want to drink. I know I shouldn't trash that person who I don't like. But boy, does it feel good. Makes me feel better. You with me? So this whole business of belonging is important, and it sort of sits there without us really thinking much about it. It's sort of the software that's kind of constantly running, but I'm not thinking about, am I connecting with you? Unless I'm very specifically thinking about, who are my people? Are you part of my people? Can we be people together? Why would you want me to be part of your people? Why would you want me? This is being negotiated and processed all the time. You with me? So part of what I want to invite you to do this week is to be thinking about, where are the places of connection or disconnection around you? How am I connected with those people at work that are in that office, but I'm not with the people over here? How am I connecting with this one kid versus my other kid over here? How am I connecting with my partner, my spouse, my friends, or not? And most fundamentally, how am I connecting with God? Which is where we start. We are made to be in relationship with God. St. Augustine, love St. Augustine, great African, North African bishop, loved God, tried out all different kinds of ways of being in his life, tried out different religions, different philosophies, and worked his way through all kinds of things. And this was a time when you said that you were part of something, you actually had to kind of like walk the walk. So if I was an adherent to this particular philosophy, it's not that I just got the shirt. Okay? It's not that I can just say, oh, well, I kind of like dabble in this and do that. So if you were this, if you were a Buddhist, you were a Buddhist. If you were Muslim, you're going to, do the things that you knew were part of that life and faith tradition. If you were a Christian, don't play around. He worked his way through what it meant to be a Christian and had to kind of like take it very seriously. And he wound up confessing these words. I love these words. You made us for yourself, O Lord. Our heart is restless until it rests in you. We are made in the very image of God from the very creation of reality for that relationship with God. Now, listen, in the scripture that Charlie read for us just a moment ago, he says this. You didn't receive a spirit of slavery to lead you back again into fear. We should come back to that because there's a point there that needs to be worked with. But you received a spirit that shows that you are adopted as your children. I have adopted children. I have three adopted children. We brought that. We chose them. Okay? And I don't want to spend a lot of time reflecting on that right at this moment, but we chose them. We brought them in. And in time, they began to choose us too. They'll claim us. But it was a matter of saying, this is who you are to me. With this spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. We cry out an intimate personal name to God to say, you are our parent. The same spirit agrees with our spirit that we are God's children. But if we are children, we are also heirs. We are God's heirs and fellow heirs with Christ if we really suffer with him so that he would be glorified. The next part goes on, second half of verse 8. Therefore, whether we live or die, we belong to God. Do me a favor. I don't do this a lot. Work with me. Would you say your name? Just say your name. Now, say your name, but this time I want you to add to it, belongs to God. Bert belongs to God. It's different than even saying I, right? Bill. Say that again. And you do. And the sense that God embraced you from the very beginning of your life. The Psalms say that God knew us from the very, knitting together of our life. Knew us in our mother's womb. Knew us in the very heights of our life and the very depths of where we can go and where we cannot be. God is with us, in love with us, in spite of everything that we have done to blow it. That's why the cross redeems us, so that we can live in that relationship with God, so that we can find ourselves in the work and the business of being God's and not have to like carry a bunch of, I was going to say crap, I went and said it, there it is. But do you know what I mean? But I haven't carried that with us. Fundamentally, we are made for connection. We're made for connection with God. So what I want to try to encourage you to do this week is to think about your connections, your personal connections with each other. and your connections just around you, but also specifically to invite that awareness of those connection, that connection with God. Maybe you should start with that simple sentence that I gave to you. What would it be to wake up in the morning and look yourself in the mirror? Not that that's a bad thing, but to say that sentence, Bert belongs to God. To look yourself in the eye. It's hard to look yourself in the eye in a mirror some mornings, isn't it? Sometimes I'm more concerned about, well, but what is that? And there's nothing that can tame that down. But to look yourself in the eye, look yourself in the here in the heart. Bill belongs to God. So first of all, to recognize those connections, those open-ended connections, maybe some of the ones that are a mess, right? Maybe some of the ones that you find yourself kind of regretting in the process of understanding your life at work or school, or how can I treat that person that way? What is it that God, who created that person, makes sense of what I'm doing to them? It works the other way. How is it that God makes sense of how I'm being abused or hated or opposed or oppressed or misidentified? That's the beginning of the work, is to look at those connections, what to celebrate, what to build on, what to heal, what to prioritize even, and what we might need to disconnect from. Because actually, sometimes disconnection is a pathway to heal. Now, a couple things. If you want, if you have one of our free Amplify Media accounts, one thing I would encourage you to do is go in and search 6 ways to encounter God. We'll make this available for you later on. But there are 5-minute videos there that I think that you will absolutely love. Or you might want to look at David Brooks' book, How to Know a Person. Or maybe you just need to spend some time with the one who loves you. And I invite you to all this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.